Draymond, what's the instant reaction to that for you in your head?
Damn.
Still looking for Steph. Now Draymond's got it.
What'd he do that for?
Draymond shot a three with 5 seconds left.
Smartest dunk play in the history. You know, I know most people won't see that. It kind of put two and two together of what's actually going on there.
Draymond shot that because he saw White's hand extended. He thought he was going to be fouled shooting a three.
Very smart play that ended up being dumb as hell.
That's unfortunate.
A very smart play that ended up being dumb as hell. Robert, you've seen this happen before.
Yes, I've seen that happen before, but I'm not even going to blame Draymond. I'm going to blame the inbounder.
Thank you.
Steph comes wide open. Give the ball to Steph. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Can't blame Draymond.
Guess what? I'm not going to blame the inbounder. I'm going to blame the fly bats that be flying around that arena
in San Antonio.
They just say they hit it, one hit Draymond in his face.
Manu's not there to clean it up anymore. He's not there to be pest control. This is the problem, clearly. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside 7-time NBA champ Robert Horry and 2008 champ Kendrick Perkins. I'm sorry I had to do that to you, Perk. That one ring you have is very shiny and special, but you're next to Robert Horry, so, you know.
Hey, Rach, look, it's okay because guess what? I'm here with the greatest role player of all time.
All time.
I say that all the time, so look, I take that. Big Shot Rob, H-Town legend.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Perk.
All right, guys, coming up after that narrow loss Monday, Steve Kerr said he won't stretch Steph's minutes to win now. Interesting strategy we will discuss, but first, LaMelo Ball can tell you it's not easy being the youngest brother in a famous family. All you want to do is make your own way in the world, but before you can even really get started, everyone's comparing you to your older siblings, pushing you into the family business, until one day you wake up and you're leaving decapitated horse heads in people's beds. Wait, no, sorry, that's Michael Corleone. Anyway, the point is, LaMelo has had a lot to navigate for a long time. There was the shadow cast by his brother Lonzo, who was drafted number 2 overall, the even longer shadow cast by his father, who after being a guest on seemingly every television show ever created, finally started a reality show of his own that debuted to 26 million viewers. I don't know what any of you out there looked or acted like when you were a sophomore in high school, like LaMelo was at the time, but I, for one, am very grateful I did not have 26 million people examining my every move. There was also the matter of middle brother LiAngelo getting arrested for shoplifting, which could have been treated as just a minor teenage indiscretion, except for, well, when your family is famous, nothing is minor, and so it snowballed into an international incident involving Donald Trump. Oh, and then there was also the fight that LeVar got into over the coach at LaMelo's high school, which ended in LaMelo having to leave his friends and everything he'd ever known to go play ball in Lithuania. So that is a lot of other people's baggage to be carrying around before you even get the chance to figure out who you are yourself. And yet, instead of being bitter or entitled or burned out, LaMelo not only made it through in one piece, he has become one of the brightest young stars in this bizarre NBA season, driving a Charlotte Hornets franchise that had previously seemed eternally stuck in neutral. Watching Ball is just so much flat-out fun. He's got an improvisational style that makes everything constantly fresh. His court vision is insane. Remember this behind-the-back pass to Miles Bridges? That was Ball in his very first preseason game. Since then, Ball and Bridges have been turning basketball courts all over America into their personal And One mixtape tour, with Gordon Hayward also getting a healthy boost from Ball as well. And along the way, Ball has pushed his way into the starting lineup, become the youngest player in NBA history to record a triple-double, and last night tied a franchise rookie mark when he hit 7 three-pointers against the Rockets, out-dueling Victor Oladipo to earn the Hornets a win. Take a look at some of these shots. I mean, just so nice, cool, calm. The performance was all the more impressive considering Ball's pregame routine was disrupted by an issue with his COVID test. Team officials had him stay home until it was cleared up, which means Ball basically walked into the arena, put on a uniform, and started playing. And of course, it wouldn't be a breakout LaMelo Ball game without an eye-popping assist. Check this out to beat the buzzer in the first quarter. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. The performance was strong enough to get another round of Rookie of the Year talk going. Now, only time will tell if Ball makes good on that. But in the meantime, there is zero doubt about the way he has energized Charlotte as a franchise and made the Hornets must-see TV. you know, just when you think they're out, he pulls you back in. Not bad for a little brother at all. So, Perk, you have established yourself as being firmly on the LaMelo bandwagon. How good do you think he can ultimately be?
Well, look, Rachel, listen, you know I was saying on draft night that the New York Knicks needed to grab this kid. He was a superstar in the making, and he is showing that right now. But look, when you look at this guy, it's about time that the head coach gave him the keys to the car because he's been ready for this moment. He is showtime. He is possibly has the potential to be the face of the NBA in a couple of years. He is a baby Magic Johnson in the making. I cannot wait for fans to all the way be able to come back to arenas because it is going to be sellout crowds down there in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's everything that I thought and more, and he is just flat out box office.
Yes, he is box office, and he is playing extremely well. If you think about, if he has the work ethic as his brother has, who had to learn how to change his shot and come into this league and do some things different, he's going to be fantastic because he reminds me of a Penny Hardaway type guy. Tall guy, skinny, can do it all. And think what Penny Hardaway used to do with Shaq. And now he's doing this on the court, doing some fantastic, electrifying the crowd with his passes and be able to come and knock down three. He, when he takes his shot with consistency like he does, because sometimes he has a tendency to change how he shoots, but when he shoots it like he did last night, he's going to be a fantastic player in this league for a long time because he has a huge IQ for the game.
I love that comp to Penny. And, yeah, the fact that he's 6'6". And, by the way, he might still be growing. This kid is only 19 years old. So he's got a guard's game, but he's 6'6", which really helps him get where he needs to be on the court. Very, very impressive. We've said on The Jump all season, this is our League Pass team of the year because they're just so much fun to find on a night, even when they're not on national TV. And this kid is why. I love seeing what he can do. Now, we go from one youngin' to a guy who is a vet who's earned all the cred, two-time MVP Steph Curry. He had 14 points in the fourth quarter last night, but he only played the final 5:33 of the period, which ended up as a five-point loss to the Spurs. Now, Steve Kerr explained his decision not to stretch Steph's minutes post-game. Take a listen.
We're counting on having Steph here for a long time, many, many years ahead, and I'm not interested in grinding through this season, which is already a very difficult season given the COVID regulations and just the nature of the games themselves. These eerie, empty stadiums. This is for me, for our organization. We're not throwing Steph out there for 40 minutes to chase wins. We got another game tomorrow. We want Steph to be playing at a high level for many years, so we're going to stay very disciplined and try to keep him at that 34-35 minute mark.
So Steph is averaging fewer than 6 minutes for the fourth quarter this year than he did last season. And Robert, he's 32 years old. He's turning 33 next month. Do you agree with Steve Kerr's reasoning here?
I'm on the fence on this. I'm like, yes or no. This is one of these moments where a player and a coach have to sit down and talk to each other. You have to say, yo, how do you feel, Steph? Steve, this is how I feel. You know, this is what I want to happen. And I want also fans to understand that this is not LeBron James. LeBron James is one of those unique type of players who can play for 30 years, you know. But it has to boil down to Steph Curry and Steve Kerr sitting down and Steph saying, yo, this is how I feel. And the reality of the thing is a player, he has to say to himself also, hey, I am not Superman. I am not invincible. If I have a little tweak, shut it down because he's not winning a championship this year. So why go out and try to put that much stress on your body and wait for next year?
And that's a great point. And that's the thing that I got from Steve Kerr in that post-game interview is that he's saying basically this is not a championship team. And we all know the culture of the Warriors is not just to make the playoffs, but they want to contend for a title. So with that being said, he's saying, should I just completely waste everything Steph has to offer right now or wait and spread it out throughout the years? And when his partner in crime Klay Thompson comes back next year, then we'll be back right in the mix of things where we were before, and that's contending for a title. So I love what Steve Kerr is doing with Steph Curry and saying, hey, I love what you're doing. I love what you're bringing to the table this year. But in all honesty, our chances on winning the title are not high. I need to save some of this Steph Curry for the years to come. And then it was a message to the others on the team to say, hey, we cannot just continually heavily rely on Steph Curry. You guys are going to have to step up also. That was also a message in that post-game interview that I got from Steve Kerr, to his guys also.
Hey, Steve Kerr, Steve Nash, Steph Curry, it's a lot, Perk. You're excused. It's a lot. And that's a great point about the other guys on the team, because it does send a message to them. I worry a little bit about the other guys of the team in the other direction, because, of course, it's smart to preserve Steph Curry. We just showed that sort of catalog of Steph injuries. Those visuals just made me cringe. They stink to watch. So, yes, you want to make sure that he is fully healthy when you have Klay back next year. That being said, it's the culture of winning that you're trying to set up. They have a number of young players on this team, right? So you want to make sure you walk that line of preserving Steph for the future, not being too cute, though, in a way where guys start to develop bad habits, the younger guys on the team. I'm not worried about Steph. Obviously, he's fine. He's set. He's going to be good to go. But some of the guys that they are developing, we'll have to see the effect on them. We are not done with Steph Curry, gentlemen. He hit another ridiculous three last night, and it sparked our producers to list the most impossible threes of Steph Curry's career. This is going to be a tremendous video roll, so stay tuned for that. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, still here with Robert Ori, Kendrick Perkins, and at this time, we are also joined by our NBA sideline reporter, LA radio host, jack of all trades, Mr. George Sedano. Always so nice to be almost in the same place as you. You and I are in studios like 20 feet down the hallway because of COVID, so I can almost reach out and touch you, but close enough. Welcome.
Good to be here, Rachel. Always great to be here.
Amazing. We will begin with LeBron James, who somehow just every year, the man keeps going. He's in the MVP conversation again, his 18th season. After last night's overtime win against the Thunder, James was asked about that success and the longevity of another older gentleman, Tom Brady, who just won his 7th Super Bowl on Sunday. Take a listen.
One of the GOATs. I've been watching him my whole life. It seemed like my whole life, but just to see, you know, him go out and do the things that he's done, you know, in his career, for him to win another one yesterday, in the fashion that he won, it was pretty cool. It was very inspiring for a guy like myself, but two different sports, two different positions. I don't know how long I'm gonna play the game. I don't know how much more I'll be able to give to the game, but you know, the way I feel right now, we'll see what happens. But, you know, the game will let me know when it's time and we'll figure it out then.
So, George, you heard LeBron talking about Brady inspiring him, but they are two different sports, as he notes. How do you see LeBron's career arc playing out here?
Well, Rachel, I don't think there's anyone in sports that spends more money on his body than LeBron James, and that's certainly been well documented. And no disrespect to Tom Brady and, Team TB and the kale pajamas right, or whatever it is that he wears. But LeBron puts in so much effort and time and money into his body, and it's paid off. You look at a guy at 36 years old that looks like when he was 26 years old. I mean, it's kind of wild when you see that, and that's just not the normal aging process, but he has defied that in a lot of ways because of the effort he's put in. And also from an experience standpoint, he's like Neo in the Matrix now, Rachel. He's stopping bullets before they're coming. So he's in a situation that there is not a situation that arises during a game that he's never seen at this point. So between all that and just guys knowing, they know when it's time, right? Charles Barkley always likes to say, whenever you start head faking way too many times, you know it's time to go, right? And all these guys know. Kobe knew. He started that last season, and a couple of weeks in, he was like, nah, I'm done. I'm ready to go. And I think LeBron will know when it's time. And he can go well into his late 30s or 40s. We saw Kareem do it, yep, and kind of shift to that number two guy with Magic.
Well, I mean, George, look, I talked about it coming into this season. I thought LeBron James was going to be load management. He hasn't missed one game. So I don't know. Everything he does now surprises me. And I'm just like, where is he getting this from? If you watch him, he has mastered the game of basketball. He's mastered the way that he's cutting, his feel offensively, his passes are on time, on target. Here it is. You had a guy, Wes Matthews, who had four DMPs over the past few weeks, and then he played last night and was huge for them defensively and offensively. And on the offensive stance, all he had to do was be ready to catch and shoot. And you look at guys like Wes Matthews and KCP, and you watch them, and when LeBron makes passes to them, those passes are even perfect. Well, he's not reaching high or reaching low. It's right in the pocket. When you look at the game winner, the potential game winner that he had last night, he was upset because the inbounder bounced past it to him, which caused him to reach low, to have to glitch to get it up. And it's just like, these are the things that he's watching, the small things, the little details that nobody else is noticing that's putting him ahead of the game. So, I don't know. I think we see LeBron James at the age of 45, maybe, because he's a physical specimen. And here I am, age at 36 years old and starting my new career in life, and he's still going strong. I'm just jealous, and I don't know what else is next for him.
Well, it's funny, Perk. The other day we were talking about Dwayne Wade and how he said that he thinks LeBron is a better player now, not for a 36-year-old, but overall, than LeBron was when LeBron played with Dwayne back in Miami. And that's kind of considered right now the height of LeBron's MVP seasons. Robert, Perk brings up an interesting point, though, about rest. Do you think that LeBron does need to take some games off here or there? Or do you think with not that many practices this season, it's fine to play as much as he can and still stay in that MVP race?
Well, he can take some games off and still be mentioned as the MVP because he's LeBron James. And I think the only person that can get in LeBron James' way is LeBron James, because he's such a guy. He's such a caring guy that wants to perform for the fans. There are no fans in the stands, but he knows people are watching on TV. He wants to be out there. So he is the only guy in the NBA that should be allowed to load manage, because he's played more games than anybody in the NBA. He's played more playoff games and logged more minutes than anybody, and he's still playing at a high rate. And he needs to take some time off. So, LeBron James, don't get in your own way. Take some time off. We won't mind. You're the only one that can load manage.
There you go. I want to get to Anthony Davis. He did miss last night's game due to soreness in his right Achilles. Robert, you're here on every game here in L.A. with Spectrum. Do you have any concern about AD's health moving forward, or do you think this is a little load management itself?
I think it's a little bit of load management. And when you're a big guy and then you start talking about the Achilles, that can really affect the way you move. And AD is an active defender, so he's a little bit everywhere. He's stretching out, so he's really putting a lot of stress on that Achilles. So when it comes to the Achilles, you know, especially in the Lakers case, you think about the last person who had an Achilles injury, the late, great Kobe Bryant. So you don't want anything to come into play like this. So you say, hey, AD, we got LBJ. Take some time off. Make sure you get 100, because we're going to win on this another championship. So that's what you have to tell him.
You know, Rachel, I'm not concerned, but I can understand being cautious, because the biggest predictor of future injury is past injury, right? And you look at Anthony Davis, while he hasn't had a catastrophic injury, he's had a lot of little lingering injuries over the past, right, over the last several years. And he's had several injuries to that same leg recently. So because of that, it's the middle of February, right? This team is all about winning a championship. Take your time with him. Sit him out for a couple of games, even a week or two if you have to make sure that this team is right when it comes time to try to win a championship.
Absolutely. And it's all about the marathon and not the sprint. And Anthony Davis went on the longest playoff run of his career last year, and that's to go and win a title. So I can understand what having a short offseason, his body probably haven't recovered, because he logged in a lot of minutes last postseason. He played a lot at the five position, banging up against big bodies. And then you have to give a lot of credit to the Lakers front office, Rob Pelinka, for going out and getting guys like Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, knowing that these guys could take that pressure off LeBron James in case they do have to, I mean, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, just in case they do have to load management or rest, because these are guys that could come in and give us 20-plus points a night.
I'm just not even going to mention the fact that you guys just said, don't worry, AD, you can take some games off because the 27-year-old can rest because the 36-year-old is going to play every game. So don't you worry about it. I don't know what's happening here. Coming up, gentlemen, we're going to switch over to talk about the Heat. Have not lived up to expectations so far this season, but they have dealt with a lot. Do they shake up the roster or just stay the course now that their players are finally healthy? We will discuss that next. First, though, here is what The Jump recommends for today. This is on ESPN Plus. Ramona Shelbourne, writing about G League Ignite, that prospect Jalen Green, everyone's so excited about his long road to the NBA draft. Check out Ramona's story to learn more about Green, who is currently projected as a top five pick by ESPN. This is a good one. Go check it out. To the Heat continuing their way back from injury and a COVID plague 7-14 start, but still, they're currently outside the East play-in, entering tonight's game with the Knicks. So, George, the Heat do have roster flexibility. They could pursue a trade if they need one. There is no more, let's save it all the room for Giannis this summer. What should they do? Should they make a deal or just stay the course now that they're healthier?
Well, Rachel, I do think they need to make a deal, but I do think that them getting back on track, right? Jimmy Butler missing 3 weeks, almost half the games, is huge because guys were playing out of their roles. And let's not forget, Goran Dragic just missed 5 games. Bam missed a couple of games. There were a number of different guys that missed games either due to injury or COVID protocols, Jimmy being the guy who missed the most games. So when you had guys playing out of position, playing out of their roles, that created a big problem for them. And it's weird because they weren't really blown out in a lot of those games, which kind of goes to show you about their quote-unquote culture that either people love or hate to hear about. But nonetheless, I do think they need to make a move, whether that's a big move like a Bradley Beal. Sure, of course, but 29 teams want Bradley Beal. Could they make a move for a Kyle Lowry? If Toronto's a willing participant, that would make a lot of sense. I think the Clippers will probably be in on that too.
Yes, they
and
would.
And then there can be some small moves that they can make. Thaddeus Young, to me, is having a really good season for a team that is not very good in the Chicago Bulls. And I look at this Heat team, the one ingredient they're missing is a guy like Jay Crowder. Well, I think Thaddeus Young is a more versatile version of Jay Crowder. I actually think he's an even better fit than Jay Crowder was. He's not as good a shooter per se, but it's not like Jay Crowder was Ray Allen when he got to the Heat. He just got really hot when he played for the Heat. So as good as Jay was, as far as his skill set, I think that Thaddeus brings even more to the table. So a small move like that could even help them get back into contention.
Yeah, I agree with you totally that if they make a small move, but you don't have to jump the gun so soon because these guys haven't been playing together. Your injury, protocol, everything like that. And think about this. I was on a team that finished six and still won an NBA championship. So do not jump the gun because this team had a long season last season. They had a short offseason. So they might be a little tired. They might be trying to get their feet under them. So don't jump the gun yet. But if you do make a trade, make sure you do not give up any pieces because they're still a very good team that can get back to the NBA championship.
And I agree. I wouldn't jump the guns just so quickly. I would let things play out. Again, they're only 5 games from being 500. The Heat have enough talent that they could go on a 9 or 10 game winning streak. Right now, they're currently on the 2-game winning streak, facing a pretty solid Knicks team that I think that they could pull out a win tonight. But I think they need to fix some things internally. And one of those things is Kendrick Nunn. When you look at the Heat last year throughout the whole regular season, we were talking about Ja Morant. We were talking about Kendrick Nunn for his rookie of the years. And I thought these last 2 games, he has come into his own, having 26 and then I believe having 15 or 13 as a starter, but shooting 6 from 11 from the field. So getting those pieces and fixing the problem internally, the Heat are all right position. I wouldn't panic just yet. They're only 5 games out. And I feel like they could make up ground with the talent, and they have the best coach, in my opinion, in the game today in Eric Spoelstra.
Eric, what he has done there for years has been incredible, and just sort of the regular confidence that he brings every player on that roster. I will say there's a little bit of a habits thing in that the Heat – came from behind and won a lot last year, especially in the playoffs. And that was during games themselves, came from behind in games. But also, if you're a lower seed beating higher seeds, you are coming from behind in the bracket as well. Well, they did that. They were successful. And the next season, that leaves you thinking, oh, we can do that. So the good side of that is they're confident during games, even when they're behind. The bad side of that is that you let yourself fall behind because you think you can do it. And they have let themselves fall behind in this season overall. A lot of it is not their fault. They were hit so hard by coronavirus, but it will be interesting to see whether they really try to make up ground here or whether they're like, yeah, as long as we get into the playoffs and the play-in game or whatever it is, we know, look what we did last year, we know what we can do. It is exhausting, and they found that in the finals, to keep trying to play from behind. Eventually it catches up with you. I'm interested to see what they do. All right, guys, let's talk about the Bucks, because they picked up another impressive win over Denver last night. Chris Middleton shining with not only 29 points but a game-high 12 assists, four dimes in the fourth quarter, and they were pretty perk as Milwaukee is on their way to another top seed in the East. Do you think Chris Middleton can be the closer that we keep talking about the Bucks needing to make a title run?
And Rachel, I do. He is one of them. He is the most underrated Batman in the NBA today. He don't get enough credit. And when I watched him in the bubble last year,
on that team, come on.
I mean, most underrated Robin. I'm sorry, Rachel. You know the Robin, okay? He's the most underrated Robin, all right, in the game today. And I say this because when you watched him last year in the postseason, when Giannis got hurt, he stepped up in the fourth quarter in big moments and had monster fourth quarters, hit big shot after big shot to send games in the overtime. And when I look at Chris Middleton, he's everything that you need in a closer. He could create for himself. He got a mid-range shot. He could drive to the lane and finish at the basket. He could shoot the lights out from the three. And also, if he gets fouled, he could step up and he could make free throws. The thing that I'm impressed more so about Chris Middleton this year is his playmaking ability, the way that he's able to drive and create for others. The old Doc Rivers used to tell Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, Rondo, and Kevin Garnett, just because I draw up a play for you doesn't mean it's your shot. And I'm watching that in Chris Middleton right now.
Rachel, I think he's by far their best option for all the reasons that Perk illustrated. But, you know, he's a 50-40-90 guy, right, or close to it generally every year. His length, I mean, his ability to hit shots from really anywhere on the court is impressive. And his defense. His defense also creates offense. However, and this is not just Chris Middleton, I think the biggest issue with this is fine in the regular season, but we need to see this in the postseason. I don't think Chris Middleton or Giannis or anyone on that team has had a big moment in the playoffs. And this team has had great regular seasons. So until we actually see it, when the games actually matter, I'm a little in the side of just saying, you know what, I gotta see it to believe it. Regular season is one thing. In the playoffs, when teams can scheme against you and plan against you, I think that's completely different.
Well, no one's had more playoff success than the man I'm about to reset here. Do you think that you really need that kind of closer in the playoffs? Because that's, of course, the conventional wisdom. But I've heard you talking about mismatches before, too.
Everybody wants to have a closer, but sometimes you have to look at the makeup of a team. This team has to deal with mismatches because we all know the book on the Greek Freak is the clog, the inside. But I look over a guy like Jrue Holiday. This guy is one of the most talented guards in the league on both ends of the court. He can put up numbers. He can go out and do things for you and put you in the right situation. We talked about LeBron earlier, how he can drive and kick to the guys and get it right. Just do what you do, Middleton. Stick behind the three, shoot threes, penetrate when you have the moment. Greek Freak, do what you do. But I'm looking at Jrue Holiday. When you want a guy that can be a closer, this is the guy can make those closers that we're talking about be actual closers because he can get them the ball in the right position to be successful.
Amazing. Thank you so much, George. Thank you for joining us. You're so close, but so far away, and I miss you. I'm just going to put that right out there.
I miss you guys, too.
These guys are going to stick around with me, and up next, the Sixers leading the East, despite All-Star Ben Simmons actually shooting less. Has that turned out to be the right formula for Philly to contend? We'll discuss. It's crunch time here on The Jump. 29 years ago today, Magic Johnson won the All-Star Game MVP. You may remember he had retired 4 months prior due to testing HIV positive, but the fans voted him into the game anyway. Robert, what are your memories about that game?
I remember watching this game and saying, this guy can take this much time off and still come out and put in work. It's amazing
the skill set that Magic had and the magic he brought to the game and the love he had for it. It just shows you how much the fans appreciate him, how much his teammates appreciate him, how much his everything. Everybody appreciated the guy. That's why he made it to the All-Star, and he is the Magic Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me personally, I was a young pup watching this, but the one thing that popped to my mind was brotherhood and just the joy and the camaraderie and how everybody rallied around Magic at that time. You saw him and Jordan interacting on the court. It was just a beautiful thing to see, and how guys were basically saying, hey, brother, we are still in your corner no matter what. It's always a pleasure to see. It was a beautiful thing to watch.
It's such a good point, Perk, because unfortunately it was about a year ago that David Stern's funeral was held, and Magic Johnson got up and spoke about that moment. He said, David convinced everybody that it was okay to play with me in the All-Star game. That wasn't a given by any stretch. A lot of misinformation out there at the time about HIV, and the fact that he not only put Magic in that game, allowed him to be in that game even after retiring, and convinced everyone else on the court that this was okay, this was going to be safe, it was going to be all right. Magic said that that moment, that All-Star game that we were just watching highlights of, changed the perception of HIV in this country, because if Magic was able to be healthy and run around and do all of that, and all those guys would be on the court with him, it meant that HIV patients weren't scary in the way they had been demonized in the media, and that it was so critical.
So true.
I think Magic gets so much credit for that, and of course the late David Stern gets credit for that as well. Let's move on to the Wizards, guys, because they beat the Bulls last night despite Zach LaVine's 35-point performance. After the game, the NBA's leading scorer, Bradley Beal, said LaVine should be voted into his first All-Star game this year, quote, hands down. Beal called LaVine electric. So, Robert, do you agree with Beal that LaVine should be an All-Star? But remember, that means other people don't make it if he does.
Yeah, that is the key there. He is a dynamic player. He has a skill set like no other. And we want to see him in the All-Star game, if there's an All-Star game, just for his ability to get to the rack and dunk. But I don't think he is going to make it awesome because he plays on the Bulls. The Bulls don't win. And there's so many other guys on winning teams that are playing really well. So he's the All-Star, but not just this year.
Well, right, and look, he's an All-Star in my eyes. The way that he's been giving everybody that worked this season, and I mean everyone, he's been putting buckets up from in variety of ways. But here's the problem. He's not going to be a starter.
Right.
And then we all know who votes for the reserves is the coaches. And the coaches not only look at your individual accolades, but they look at the effect of what you have on the W side. Where's your team seated, or where are they at in the win column? Yeah. So that's probably going to be the deciding factor. And I want him to be an All-Star. I think he deserved to be an All-Star. But like Rob said, he's on the Bulls, and the Bulls are not winning, so he's probably going to get snubbed.
Well, we had him on the show last week. He's certainly qualified, but it is tough to make the All-Star game in the East, maybe tougher this year than in the Western Conference. First time I've been able to say that in a while. It's time for our League Pass game of the night. Lots to choose from today, but we picked the Sixers at Kings. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern. The Kings have won four straight. Meanwhile, Philly comes in with the best record in the East, and despite all the trade chatter that surrounded Ben Simmons this season, guys, he is performing very well for new coach Doc Rivers, shooting 53%, averaging nearly 14 a game over the team's last 10, but he is averaging fewer than 10 shots a game this season. Perk, do you think that him taking fewer shots is actually better, it turns out, for Philadelphia?
Look, he's been a star in his role right now. The team is having success, and he's taking himself out of the equation. Keep growing, Ben. Keep being you.
Look, after so many difficult seasons in Philadelphia, Robert, it's working. I'm sure they're happy about it.